Yeah.
To make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started. So just to let you guys all know, I challenged the worship team today because it was all guys to do a little Backstreet Boys. I'm highly disappointed that they didn't go through. I wanted to see some dance moves. I wanted to see a little bye 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 or something. You know, come on. Yeah.
Well, you picked the Christian and have
them do the
worship.
Yes. Yeah, we did. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. While you're going there, just a couple quick things. Number one, we are missing the ladies today on our worship team, as you see. So we are an all-guys worship team today. Just some things have been coming up today. My wife is doing grandma duty today in Cleveland, and so you'll keep my daughter and her kids in your prayers. That would be greatly appreciated. Everything's okay. They're just time. They needed grandma. Daughter needed mom. Grandkids need grandma. So they're up there today.
Let's pray for Bernie.
Right off. Yes, and Amy has asked, which I totally understand and agree with. Anyone been keeping Bernie Kosar in your prayers? Be praying for him as well. He's getting a liver. He is getting his liver transplant today. So he's not missing much.
Yeah. But he's gonna get a liver. That's awesome.
And I say that as a diehard Browns fan too. Unfortunately, they are hard to watch.
Yeah, you're not. That's fair.
All right, hold on. We got to get off the Browns. Luke chapter 22. Okay.
That's when you need God. When you're watching Browns.
Yes. Also, just real quickly with you, I know Jay made an announcement this morning, but I just want to reiterate that we do have 51 families. Actually, total combined, we are serving over 111 kids for Christmas this year, but we are joining forces with Church of Hope in Richtown, and also the Congregational Church in Richtown too. And so all together we're helping 111 total kids. Our church has signed up for 51 of the kids. See Miss Tanya, she has tags for you. And she also has envelopes if you want to donate cash. And then finally, also, I know she'll be making this proclamation, I guess. It sounds so funny. She'll be making this plea to the women's ministry. We'll need help setting up and organizing and passing out the toys too as it gets closer to the actual time.
But we're taking the presents
to the out. You can bring them here and then. Yeah, you can bring them Sunday before, or you can bring them here, and we'll take them either there, or we'll store them at our house or whatever if you have to bring them in before. So, okay. All right, Luke chapter 22. Have you ever been asked the same question over and over and over again? You have kids. The answer is yes. Can I have a piece of candy? Can I have a piece of candy? Can I have a piece of candy? Can I have a cookie? Can I have a cookie? Can I have a cookie? What is it?
Why?
Oh, I thought you said wine. I was going to say, wait, what kid is asking for wine? Wait a minute. Yeah, why? Why this? Why that? When you're asked the same question multiple times, it gets a little irritating, right? Yes. It gets irritating because we don't want to answer over and over and over again. We want to answer and we want to be done with it. We want to answer this question and then move on. Luke chapter 22 tells us a story, though, where Jesus doesn't just ask one question. He asks three. Some of our lowest moments of times in our faith are the steps that propel us into the fullness of what Jesus would have us to do. The story we will read here today is a story where Peter is going to be asked a question by Jesus three times. Yes, this is the same Peter who just shortly days before was asked, who do you say I am? And a few weeks ago, we did that question where Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the rock. You are the foundation. You're what the church is to be built upon. And you are the Son of God. And Jesus commends Peter for saying that, but then just shortly after that, he gives Peter some bad news. And so let's read and then we'll jump in. Luke chapter 22 says, Paul, it looks as though you're going to have to drive for me. Here we go. Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. If you have your fingers in that space, jump over, if you will, to Luke chapter 22, verses 54. It's just shortly a few verses later. Then they seized him, this is speaking of Jesus, they're seizing him in the garden. They seized him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And before we go any further, you have to remember, this is also what I'm skipping over, is Peter actually, in the midst of Jesus being arrested, Peter pulls out a sword, and what does he do? Whoop! Off with your ear! And Jesus performs a miracle, of course, putting the ear back on the soldier there, but it tells us in verse 54, then they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, can everyone say servant girl?
Servant.
There's a reason why the Bible tells you it's a servant girl. We'll get there in a moment, but just remember this. Stick that in the back of your mind. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man was with him too. He is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pause and pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you are doing for us. And Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of our most terrible times, you are there for us. Even in the midst of our trouble, our greatest needs, you are there for us. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that you would just be with us, that you would guide us, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd be with us as even when we're going through the times where we deny you, you are still there, sacrificing yourself for us. And Lord, we just pray that you help us to learn from these verses today. Learn from the story of Peter and how he was told and then denied and then also restored, Father, to the greatness that you have called him to be. Lord Jesus, you are in the business of not leaving us in our denial, leaving us in our pain and our suffering. You are in the business of restoring us, and we thank God for that. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We just ask you that you guide us, that you strengthen us, that you help us to hear from you today. Holy Spirit, have your way in us and amongst us today. We know that you are here. Move and guide and convict us where we need to be convicted so that we can follow you. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, and that you would be with us as we hear from you today and what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start out with simply this. Actually, Corey, can you do me a favor? Can you reset this for me and see if this will come up? Here, catch, right? Okay. Oops, wait a minute. I probably shouldn't have done that because now I have to do this. And you don't know the password. So there you go. It starts out, if you'll switch first slide, Paul. It's interesting because the verse starts out with this. Now, this is going to be fun because I get to preach with no notes. So get ready for this, right? Who knows what's going to come out of my mouth now? Jesus tells Peter, "Peter, you're going to be sifted. The devil has asked for you." Now, I want you to understand for something for a moment here, because you have to understand something, and I hope and pray that you're mature enough to handle this. Because here's the point. Do you know that God allows the suffering that you go through to happen? He doesn't make it happen, but he allows it to happen. Jesus tells Peter that the devil has demanded, the ESV says, demanded you. And so what he's doing is he's allowing the devil to test Peter. When Jesus tells Peter he's going to sift him, what he's trying to do is Revelations talks about this, other places talk about this, the sifting of the wheat and tares. When you would, back in the day, we have these wonderful complicated machinery that sifts the wheat and the tare away, and when you're a farmer, you go and you combine all the wheat down, and then you send it through, and it sifts out this process. Back then, in those days, what they literally did is they would take the wheat, and they'd put it on this material that had like little holes in it, and they would sift it like this. And they'd shake it, and the wheat would fall through, but the tares, the rest of it would be there, and they would cast those out. What Jesus was telling Peter was that the devil wants to find out if you're real or not. The devil wants to find out, are you real wheat or are you the byproducts, the things that need to be thrown out, the thrown away? this was immediately after, or just shortly after, Peter is being commended for how wonderful he answered who Jesus is. So it tells me two things. Number one is that, first of all, Jesus allows Peter to be tempted. And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a moment. The second thing that it tells me also is that it doesn't matter how good of a Christian you are, Jesus is still going to allow you to be tested because he wants you to be even better than you are today. Because there's not many people, shall I say almost none of us, that can sit here and say that we are as in the same level that Peter was. But the reason why? Peter spent years with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He lived for Jesus. He tells Jesus, even during this moment, I'm willing to die and go to prison for you. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter what you ask of me. I'm going to do that. Yet God allows Peter to be sifted or tested. We have to understand that this testing, this sifting, happens because God does not want you and I to remain in the same place. He does not want you and I to remain. Life is meant to be a step, a goal, to continually grow and get closer to the kingdom of God. It's not just a one-time occurrence. See, many Christians make the mistake that said, I gave my life to Christ, and so therefore I'm done. No, you're not. Whether you're a Christian one day or you're a Christian for 5, 50, 100 years, it doesn't matter. You're called to grow in your faith. There's constantly room for you to grow. We make the mistake of either saying, I said the salvation prayer, that's all I need to do. God's going to come down and bless my life, and therefore everything's going to be wonderful, and I'm just going to live. Or we make the mistake of, I've been a Christian for 20 years, I know everything, Pastor Chaz. I don't need any more mentoring or help. Yeah. Just then, God says, Satan's coming to sift you. And we can be sifted and we can be tempted, and we should find joy in the sifting and testing that comes. Why? Because it's going to prove our faith to be true or not true. And so when we are sifted by the wheats and the tares, as Peter was, then we get to a place of saying, I can grow closer to him. Or it shows our downfall and where we need to be lifted up. Peter was called to something great. He was a disciple of Jesus. Peter was called to be someone great. He was called to do wonderful things. We'll get to what he did here in a moment. But he was called to do these wonderful things. And he says before Jesus, I'll do anything for you. And I almost wonder if Jesus is like, yeah, right, really, wait. You just wait. You wait to see anything? Yeah, sure, you can chop off a soldier's ear. That's pretty cool, but that's nothing, because I have to put it back on. The truth of the matter is that Peter had a major issue in his life, one that I think many of us have in our lives too. We fear the future, and we fear man more than we fear God himself. Peter was under this idea that he feared man. He didn't realize it. He didn't know it. But God was showing him that he feared man. And he shows it to him in the most interesting way. The very first person that he brings to Peter that calls Peter out is a servant girl. Now, this is huge. Now, you may look at this and go, what does it matter? It's a girl, right? It's a servant girl. Who cares? No, the term servant and the fact that it was a girl is a huge thing scripturally. Because in this time, not today, please hear me, ladies. Ladies, please look at me. I'm not saying today. I'm talking about in biblical times. But in biblical times, women were not given the right to do certain things. They didn't hold the same standard as a man. So a man questioning another man was much more accepted than a woman questioning a man during that time. Again, I'm not saying that we believe that's the way it should be today, because it doesn't. But I'm saying this is what it was during this time. And during this time, not only was she a girl, it's a girl, oh my goodness, she has cooties, right? No, but it not only was a girl, but she was a servant girl. With cooties, yeah. No. Being a servant girl means that she wasn't of royalty. She wasn't of power. She wasn't of position. She wasn't of riches. She didn't have money. She didn't have a position. She didn't have a title. She didn't have a position. And she certainly didn't have money because she was a servant girl. If Peter was not afraid of man, then he should have at least been able to see him and say, yeah, I was with him. What are you going to do about it, woman? Oh, okay, maybe he shouldn't have said that. But he could have at least stood up in front of this girl and said, "What? Yes, I was. What are you going to do? I mean, what do you want me to say? I was with him. I was a follower of him." But he doesn't, because he's so afraid of both the future and of man that he denies himself to someone who holds no significant importance to him or his or that timetable. And so he denies knowing Jesus to her. The next two accounts are not named of who these people are that Peter denies him to, but nonetheless, the prophecy that was given to Peter from Jesus that he would deny him three times before the rooster crows comes completely true. We find Peter denying Christ three times. We find Peter denying to the servant girl and then two other people. Peter had an issue with fear. Whether it was he was afraid that he was going to be beaten like Jesus was going to be, whether he was afraid that he was going to be hung on a cross, which is all possible, by the way. If Jesus is convicted of these crimes, then his followers also share in the crime or the payment for that crime. And so if the Jewish leaders of the time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, say, Jesus, you are guilty of these crimes, you are going to die for your life, then his disciples were also to blame for that because they did many of the things that Jesus did. And so Peter, who in some ways has right to be a little nervous, denies Christ three times. Now, we can all sit here and give him a hard time. We can rail on Peter a little bit if you want to. We can say how bad of a person he was and how dare he deny Christ three times. How dare he does this? How dare he does all of these things? Why? I can't believe that he just did that. I would say pump the brakes real quick. So how many times have you denied Christ? Either through your words or through your actions. We are no better than Peter. Because we have, and in many cases, we are worse than Peter because we don't have to worry about, at least right now, dying on a cross or being beaten for our allegiance to Jesus. Our persecution comes by people calling us holy rollers, or our persecution comes from going, oh, you go to church, oh, great. You believe everything that Jesus said? You believe in the sky, Daddy? You believe in the... Yes, I do. Every one of those things. Amen, I do. How many times have we denied Christ? How many times have we denied him, either through our actions or through our words? And how many times do we find ourselves in the same exact spot that Peter is? One of those times for me, I'll never forget, was I was literally... this was a while ago. I was going to say it wasn't too long ago, but it was when I had hair, so it was a while ago. And I was, yeah, right, it is. So I was going to the hair cutting place, and I sat down, and the lady comes up, and she starts cutting my hair, and she asked me, she said, so what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I'm a pastor. And she proceeded to tell me a story about how bad her life is and how some trouble she's going through. And she's like, she literally said the words, I probably need to have Christ in my life, but I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. Hello, what a big sign, right? That for a pastor, those are like neon lights. It's like God's going, here you go, Jason. I'm going to serve it up on a platter. All you got to do is take it and eat it, right? It's right there. Just do it. But here I am, you know, you're getting your hair cut. It feels so nice. You're just sitting here going, I don't want to work today. Lord, I don't want to do this. Don't put me in this position. I don't want to talk about this. I don't really, I just want to relax and get my hair cut. And so I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, You probably do, I think is the words that I used. That's all I said. Got in the car, as I'm driving home, man, the conviction of the Lord hit me really, really hard. He's like, how dare you deny me? And I'm like, Lord, I didn't deny you. And he's like, yes, you did. You had the perfect opportunity. I placed you. This was a place, a time that I appointed you in, and you failed to follow me and the leading that I gave to you. And I went, okay, that hurt.
Did you turn around?
No, I did not. I got home and
strike two.
Got home and sitting at home. My wife gets home from work and I tell her the story and she's like, you should go back up there right now. And I said, no, I'll go up tomorrow. I'll go up another day. I'm not going to go up right now. And so I did not go. The next day, I couldn't sleep all that night. Wonder why, right, Jay? When you don't do what do you say, Jay? When the Lord doesn't, when you don't do what the Lord tells you to do,
he
makes it very uncomfortable. All night long, I could not sleep. And I woke up and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. And so I got in my car the next morning and I drove to the hair place again. And I walk in and the receptionist was the same lady. But I said, is the lady that cut my hair yesterday here? And she's like, why? You don't like how she did it? And I said, no, I have to have a conversation with her. And she said, I'm sorry, but she doesn't work here anymore. She quit last night. It's one of those things and those stories that I remember the rest of my life. I will continue to tell that story as long as I can because I've never had an opportunity to meet this woman again and to share with her about Christ. Thanks, Jeremy. And so, each and every one of you, I guarantee you, have a time in your life where you've denied Christ. Where you find yourself so deep and down in the despair, whether it's you want to just relax and enjoy your hair being cut, or whether you're embarrassed because what if someone says I'm a holy roller? What if someone teases me because I'm praying for, what happens if, who cares? It doesn't matter. Do you fear man or do you fear God? That's the choice that we have to make. And some people will say, well, we don't have to fear God anymore because we live in the New Testament and Jesus is all about grace. Well, you know what? God is still God today as he was yesterday. And the last time I checked, God did some really things that we need to fear in the Old Testament. God is a God of justice. He's a God of truth. He's the same yesterday as he is today as he will be tomorrow. And he deserves for us to fear him. And so when he tells you to do something, do it! Don't wait. Don't put it off. Do it. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Now, I want you to, before we jump into this verse, I want you to understand that this is now post-Christ dying on the cross. Peter watches from a distance, Scripture tells us. Peter sees him being beaten. Peter sees him with the crown of thorns. Peter sees him carrying his cross. Peter sees him being nailed to the cross. Peter sees him hung on the cross. Peter sees him die and stabbed in his side. Peter sees him taken down from the cross. Peter is part of the process of being put where Jesus is put into the tomb. We also find out, and I don't have enough time to go to this verse, but do you know who the first disciple to run to the tomb was on Resurrection Sunday? It was Peter. Peter hears from the women. Peter hears from the women who are there preparing Jesus' body because it is now after the Sabbath. They're preparing the body. And they come to the disciples and say, the Lord has risen. And the rest of the men, the rest of the disciples are like, yeah, right, whatever, sure. Prove it. But Peter, not so much. Peter runs to the tomb. Why? Because Peter has so much to gain. If Christ has truly been resurrected, he has so much to gain because what he has lost in his denial, where he has spent those, listen, those were, you want to talk about some days from hell? Those were literally days from hell, and I can say hell from the pulpit because it's scriptural, okay? But those were literally days that hell ordained for this earth and also for Peter. But we find this wonderful story. Let's jump in. John, flip over to John chapter 21. Starting in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Now I want you to pay attention to Jesus' response each time he asks this question. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, and Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time. Do you understand that in scripture, in these times, when you asked a question more than once, it was I know I asked a question. Have you been asked a question more than once? But have you ever went to someone and go, do you understand what I'm saying? Wait, do you understand what I'm saying? And then the third time is like, do you understand what I am saying? Why do you say that? You say that because they either don't understand what they're saying, or you don't think their intelligence is on the same level of yours, and they're not grasping what's inside your head, and so you're trying to communicate something better to them, so you ask them again. In scripture, asking a third time is a degrading. Friendship kind of thing, from a relationship kind of thing, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't ask someone those questions three times because you believed in their word. And so if they said the first time and they answered that, that was their word and their word was true. Today we ask questions over and over again because our word has very little value.
Or you have a teenager.
But the truth of the matter is that the value in this time, your word meant much more than it does today. Today we break our vows all the time. We shouldn't. Our yes should be yes and our no should be no. That's what scripture tells us to do. And so therefore you should, if you say yes, I'm going to be there, or yes, I'm going to do that, guess what? You better be there because that's your word. That's what you're built upon. That's who you are. Jesus asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus answers him, and Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. This is a wonderful story of restoration. Peter again has the opportunity to see Jesus. Peter goes running to the grave. He goes running to the tomb because he wants to see for his own self. Because, listen, before Jesus was resurrected, Peter never had a chance to overcome the denial that he did in Jesus. See, today we are blessed because we do live in a time and place of the grace of Jesus. And so when we sin, we can apply Jesus' grace to our sin. Peter was not able to do that because Jesus' death happened before Peter's denial. And so Peter was left with a lifelong sting of a sin he made to his Lord and his rabbi and his teacher that could never be overcome unless Jesus was resurrected. And so by the fact that Jesus was resurrected, it gave Peter a chance to have his sin forgiven and his sin for him to be restored back in the wonderful graces of Jesus. It reminds me a lot of when you realize a pray that you've never had this happen to you, and I pray that it never will, but I have counseled people before that have said some really nasty things to people, only to have that person die before they could ever have a conversation with them again. It is why I encourage you at every moment of every fiber that I have inside my body, do not let the sun go down, as Scripture says, on an argument with anyone. Especially not your wife, because she'll remember in the morning and then you'll be in lots of trouble. But don't with anyone, because you never know when the Lord is going to call that person home and you'll never have a chance to say another word. And so Jesus comes to this time to restore Peter. Peter has spent the most grueling 3 days of his life. I'm sure he was moping and walking around going, my life is over, what good is it? My rabbi, my teacher, the one I followed is not only dead, but I denied him 3 times. And he told, listen, not only did Peter deny him, Jesus told him he was going to do it. It's almost like when, I know some of you don't always listen to my sermons and don't listen to what I'm saying, you're sleeping or whatever else you're doing on Sunday morning, but it's almost when someone comes up and he says, Pastor, I did this. I look at him and go, you didn't pay attention when I was preaching that sermon, did you? And then the Lord reminds me that, well, did you pay attention to the words you read in the Bible? No, I didn't pay attention to it. Yeah, okay, Lord. I'll keep my mouth shut. But the truth of the matter is that Peter was told from Jesus that you're going to do this. And so Peter should have gone, I need to look out, I need to be prepared, and I need to be ready, because as soon as someone asks me that question, I don't want to deny him. But the important part of this is that, again, the very first person that he denied to was a servant girl. It shows the depth of Peter's need. Peter was the rock. Peter was he was one of the first disciples. He was one of the disciples that Jesus was, and he was right at Jesus. He was with Jesus. Him and John were always with Jesus. They're right there. They're doing all of these things. He was an important disciple. Yet he still failed. But Jesus comes to restore him. And he asks Peter 3 times. He asks him not once, not twice, but 3 times. Now, much has been said about the 3 questions that Jesus asked Peter. Much has been said. Some people say that Jesus asked him 3 times because he denied Christ 3 times. And that is true. There's some truth to that. Peter needed to have restoration in 3 different times in his life. Some people say that Jesus asked him 3 times because in his response, in Peter's response to Jesus, when he first says, yes, I love you, what he was saying is phileo love, which is brotherly love, instead of, and Jesus wasn't asking, do you love me as a brother? He was asking me, do you love me as God? Agape love. And so if you do a word search, you'll find that Jesus asked Peter, and now the English language does a terrible job on this, but the English language says love, but love, if you understand, has like many different versions of that. And so Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you agape love me? Do you love me more than anything else? Are you willing to sacrifice your life for me? Are you willing to lay down everything? Am I more important to you than anything else? And Peter responds to him, yes, I love you as a brother. And so some people think that Jesus asked him the 2nd time because he's like, you're not getting it. Let me ask you again to slap you along the side of the head. You need a little help. I'm not asking you, do you love me as a brother? I'm asking you, do you love me as your God? Because most people in this room would say, I love God, I love him, and I want to be with him. But our love has a limit, and our limit is, don't ask me to change myself. I'll do something for someone else. I might even volunteer. I might even buy a turkey for someone who needs it. But don't ask me to take a deep dive into myself and realize that inside of me I have pains and suffering that you want to fix, and I'm not going to do that because that's too far, Lord. I love you as a brother. I love you, but I don't love you that much. The reality of it is that, and if we are truthful with ourselves, we all have a phileo love for God, loving him as a brother, but few of us can go to the point of having agape love, which means I will lay down everything for him. That's what God wants from us. So do you understand that God comes to Peter to restore this because he's trying to get Peter to say, I need to move you from this brotherly love and I need to move you to this agape love, which means I love you beyond everything. Peter realizes this. In his last version of love, it's said that Peter actually used the word agape. But he's also very upset. Because he's been asked 3 times. And so Peter is still dealing with this. He's dealing with this. He needs that restoration. He needs that connection. He needs God to restore in him, give him the strength that he has, and all of these things. Peter had so much more to lose than the rest of the disciples. And he's getting a chance to be restored to Jesus. We find in Acts the completion of this story. I'm going to fill the gaps here in a moment, but I'm going to read this for a moment. So those, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Mariah Carey finally melted. Oh, wait. That's what it sounded like, sorry. Verse 41. From Acts chapter 2, says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You know who they're talking about? You know who they heard his word? You know who that is? Yeah, it's Peter. So Peter, in just a mere number of days, goes from being, I'm the super disciple, Diane, remember? Peter goes from being this great disciple, the one who got, you know, being with God. John says that, John in his writing says, the one that Jesus loved, which was John. He's talking about himself. He's kind of, but then he also goes on and says, you know, Peter was there with him. And so we find this Peter being this wonderful disciple who's following Jesus, who's leading the disciples, who's being strong and he's being powerful and he's being all of this stuff. We find him from having this position of authority in the discipleship and doing all of these things and being a great follower of Jesus to the point of denying him 3 times. To finding himself then restored to Jesus. And this is what happens when Jesus restores you. Do you understand that Peter would have never been able to do anything else if Jesus didn't restore him first? What is the other things that he did? Guess what happens when Jesus returns? Now, listen, this is from John to Acts. It's a wonderful, beautiful picture. There's so many things in this story that's going on right now that we don't have enough time to go over everything. But I would just want to let you know that Peter could have never been in the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit upon him when the Holy Spirit came down in the upper room if he had not been restored by Jesus. Do you want to know why? You want to know why? The reason why? Because the disciples would have never let Peter be a disciple because he had denied the teacher not once, not twice, but 3 times. When you deny the teacher and when you deny your teacher 3 times, that's an important number in Scripture. That means you're no longer following that teacher, that rabbi, and you are then released from that and you're sent out to find another teacher, another rabbi, if you even dare to do that. Because he denied him 3 times, he would never have been allowed to be with the disciples in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. But it wasn't until, listen, it's not like the disciples would have said, Peter, you're out, sorry. They would have still been friends. They still would have been there. That's why Peter was there with them, having breakfast. When Jesus appears, is it a ghost? No, it's Jesus. Peter is restored by Jesus, and what we find is that because Jesus restores Peter, he not only asks him 3 times, but the very last thing he says to Peter is what? Follow me. That phrase, follow me, means that he is now back in the good graces of Jesus. It means that he is now, again, a follower of Christ. It means that he is now under...
He's not
You're good, Levi. It means that when
3, 2, 1.
It means when he's restored. It means he's back in the good graces of Jesus. It means that he can be in the upper room. He can receive the Holy Spirit to fall upon him. And guess what Peter does? Peter goes out immediately after receiving the Holy Spirit and he begins to preach. And that day, 3,000 people are added to the church. Some say even more. There's a power of restoration that can only come from Jesus Christ. But it only comes when you position yourself at his feet to receive the restoration that he has. Do you understand that Jesus didn't have to go looking for Peter? Jesus didn't have to go knocking on doors. Where's Peter? I don't know. He was over at John Boy's house over there the other day. John Boy, where's Peter? I don't know. He was at Mary Ellen's house. Right? Not the Walton. Sorry. I got to stop that. Over and over and over again, we find that Jesus did not go looking for Peter. Peter went looking for Jesus. Peter wanted to hang out with the rest of the disciples, even though he had not been restored yet. He wanted to hang out with them because he knew Jesus was resurrected. And if Jesus was resurrected, that meant he could have a chance to have his sins forgiven and his denial of Christ be restored and his faith in Jesus restored as well. So today I want to tell you, if you're looking for restoration, listen, there's some of you in this room right now that need restoration. You have denied Christ either in your words or your actions. Your life, your actions, your sin, everything in your life. Sin, by the way, is not following God. Just simply that. I use that word quite often. But really, all it means is not following God. Some of you need to be finding Jesus right now. Some of you need to be at his feet begging him to restore you. Now, I happen to, listen, theologically speaking, today we live in the day and age of Jesus Christ. That means our sins are forgiven and Christ forgives us of our sins. And when he forgives you of your sin, scripture tells us that it is as far from the east as it is from the west. It also is at the bottom of the ocean. You can never be found again. Jesus will not remember. It will not be brought up to you. But you have to apply that forgiveness to that sin. Some of you are walking in sin in your life today, and you've been walking in sin of your life all your whole entire life, or maybe for a long period of time. And you know that Jesus forgives you, but you have never went to him and said, Lord, please forgive me for this. It is why one of the things that when I pray up here and I ask for the Holy Spirit to convict me and convict you, it's not because I love to be convicted, because Lord knows I don't. None of us do, if you're truthful with yourself. But the greatest thing that could ever happen to you is for you to be convicted of a sin that you need to be restored in Jesus of. And so when you have fallen, when you have sinned, you need to be at his feet and you need to ask him, Lord, restore me, forgive me of my sin. I come to you, I regret that I've done this. Peter is saying before Jesus, forgive me for that. And then Jesus is restoring him. And how does Jesus restore him? Not only does he go out and preach and the Holy Spirit falls upon him, but Jesus tells Peter to do three things. Listen, faith and restoration doesn't come without action. Do you understand that? Some of you all want to have faith without any action. And James, the book of James, has some words about that, by the way. If you don't know them, you should go read them because they're really good. But the truth of the matter is, some of you are looking for forgiveness of sin without having any action at all. You come to this altar, you stand before the Lord, you say, forgive me of my sins, you forgive me for doing all these things, and then you go out and you do the same thing that you once did and you once had this altar asking for forgiveness for. That's a problem. Because you're not really being restored. You're doing the exact same thing that you were once doing. And you came, some could say this was all show, because if you didn't have any action based upon what you did, then what are you doing? Restoration, the true power of restoration, the true power of being restored is when you change your actions. And your actions are different than what they were. And so when you come down, when you ask the Lord, whether it's at this altar, whether it's in your home, it's on your bedside, wherever it is, and you're praying out to God, Lord, forgive me of my sins, forgive me of what I've done. When he asks you to change, change. It's not that hard. It's doing something different than what you once did. How can you ask for the Lord to forgive you and then go and do the same exact thing? Peter is told by Jesus three things. Do you love him? That's what he asked. The very first thing. He asked that question three times. But do you know that each question that he asked him, each question that was leading to Peter's restoration, is met with Jesus telling him to do an action? So it wasn't like, do you love me? Yes, I'll forgive you, Peter. Do you love me? I'll forgive you, Peter. No, Peter's restoration was given to him by Jesus, not just simply by his words, but also by the action that he was supposed to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm gonna play the game that I just once said. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand what I'm saying? Because I hope you do. Because really, at the end of the day, your action, your forgiveness, your seeking forgiveness, your restoration requires for you to do an actionable item, not remain the same that you always were. That's insanity. That's beating your head against a brick wall, expecting a different result other than a bloodied head. Jesus wants restoration. Jesus wants to restore Peter. He wants to restore us. But he asked them this question. And salvation requires action. It's not just a reaction of overcoming the sin that's in your life. It's also action. When you're following Christ, you can't just follow Christ and live your life the way that you've always lived. That doesn't work. Because the way that you've always lived in your life, if you've come to salvation in him, you have to make a choice. You have to decide, I'm going to do something different because my old life wasn't working. That's why I'm coming to my new life. I want the new life, not the old life, and so I need action. And by the way, that goes for anyone that's accepting Christ for the first time, but it also goes for all the rest of us that have been Christians for a long time that is coming in here every day and going, Lord, I just need you to forgive me of my sins. Then feed my sheep. Do you understand that when Jesus tells Peter, he tells Peter to do three things. Feed my, what? What's the first one? Lambs. What are lambs? Christy's not here. I can't even ask her anymore. Ben, what's a lamb?
Baby sheep.
Baby sheep. The next time Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? What does he say? Tend my sheep. The third time he asks Peter, what does Jesus tell Peter to do? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. There's three different reasons. There's reasons why Jesus said that. Number one, feed my lambs. What is that? That's new Christians. Feed my lambs. Disciple people. When they come to Christ, be with them, guide them, strengthen them. Every single one of you in this room, if you know Christ and you have Christ inside of you, then it is your job to share that with other people and help build them up. To learn more about Scripture. That's feeding the lambs. Feeding new Christians as they come. And as people give their life to Christ. We're not supposed to just go, good luck. Have fun in the world. See you later. Hope you come back to church next Sunday. No, it's calling them up and saying, come on, let's go. Let's have a conversation. Let's have coffee. How's it feel to be a new Christian? What are you struggling with today? That's our job. The second thing that he says is, tend to my sheep, right? Who are the sheep? The sheep are older lambs. These are more mature sheep. They're no longer babies. They're no longer lambs. And Peter is then being called to work, to do the work. And then the final one is he says, feed my sheep. That's another job for us to do. Listen, restoration comes with action. You don't get restoration just to receive restoration and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That's all I needed. I needed to thank God. And then you go home and you flick someone off on the drive home. Or you gossip about... Listen, nothing worse than Christian gossip. You know what Christian gossip is? Aunt Marie told us to pray for her because she's struggling with her and her husband's having a fight. They may be getting a divorce, but we need to pray for them. We need to pray against that. So there, let's do this. How about just lifting the person up in prayer? It doesn't matter what it is. Listen, we have to learn to understand that restoration for Christ doesn't come without an actionable item tied to it. You're not restored for no reason. You don't get to be restored and just sit and warm a pew. That doesn't work that way. Christianity will not survive if we have a whole bunch of pew warmers. Christianity, you are being restored in Christ. You're being restored and your sin is being forgiven so that you can go and then share and feed his lambs. Tend his sheep and feed his sheep. That means you goo 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 goo. You do actionable things with the salvation that Christ has given to you. Jesus didn't just... Listen. I want to say a word that I can't say from the pulpit, but we make Christ's sacrifice on the cross so less valuable than what it actually is because we do nothing with it except for slap my little rear with a salvation sticker that says I'm going to heaven, and then we do nothing else with it. Jesus' death and on the cross was meant for so much more than that. So my question to you, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask for the Backstreet Boys to come up. I love you guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, because right now in my head, all I'm hearing is, bye, bye, bye. I deserve that. Yeah, we went it his way. That's, there you go. That's a good one. The truth of the matter is the question that was asked of Peter is being asked of all of you, too. Do you love him? Will you stand with me, please? This marks the end of this sermon series, and I saved this last question for this. I saved this question because I think of all the questions that Jesus asked, one of the most important questions that he ever asked Peter and asked us, therefore, because we're reading his words, is do you love him? Because see, the truth of the matter is that if you love Jesus, everything else, you can gain everything else that you need. But it starts with the idea of do you love him? When I ask this question, do you love him? I'm not just asking you for those that have never known Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you never had a relationship with him, you've never given yourself to him, you've asked him for that, and you need that salvation, you've come to that place saying, I need him to save me from myself. If that's the case, and you're here today, then may today be that day of salvation where you turn away from your sin and you turn away from yourself and you say, Lord, I love you and I need you. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord, that we can have everlasting eternity with him. So if you never said those words, today is a great day to do it. There's no better time than right now to do that. Because I said before, we don't know when the Lord's going to call us home. We don't know when our last breath is going to be. In a moment, we'll pray, and I'll give you an opportunity to do that. But I also want to talk to those that are here today that have been Christians for many years or for any period of time. Doesn't even have to be years. Could be days. Could be hours. And I want to ask you this simple question. Do you love him? Because your action proves whether you do or not. If you find yourself saying, I love Jesus, but I'm not doing anything for him, guess what? You better take a hard look at that. Because you may need some restoration. Truth of the matter is that when we say, I love Jesus, it should come with action. When it says, I love Jesus, that means we should be, okay, Jesus, I love you, you saved me, now what do you want me to do for you? Because that's what Scripture calls us to do. Scripture doesn't call us to just accept his salvation, his payment for us on the cross. He doesn't just pay that price for us to sit around and do nothing. No, he pays that price for us to say, okay, now let's go about doing my business, building my kingdom here on this earth, doing and walking forward in those things. So what are you doing? If you love Jesus, if you're here today and you love Jesus, hallelujah, but it's time to start doing something. Listen, I can't tell you what that is. I can tell you it starts with dying to yourself, being a servant, not being humble, not thinking about yourself, I know those are all great things to start with. But there are many other things that the Lord gives you purpose and plan on. And he has purposes and plan in his mind for you. But you have to be willing to walk forward in those things. And when you say you love him, the question is, do you really? My question back to you is not whether you love Jesus, because I think every single person who has and knows Jesus will say, yes, I love Jesus. And my question to you is then prove it by doing the actions that he says. Go out and change your neighborhood. Go out and change your family. Do something nice for the people around you. Serve Thanksgiving baskets. Go out and buy Christmas presents for people that can't afford it on their own. Stop and pray for someone in the building or in the school or in the churches. Listen, there's many in the store. Listen, you can go to Walmart and you have people in PJs that need prayed for every minute of every second of every day. Sarah, there are some people that don't need to be in Walmart in PJs. Let me just tell you that. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I can't gorge my eyes out enough right now. Gouge my eyes out, not gorge. Sorry, that's the wrong word. But the truth of the matter is that if we love Jesus, then your actions will prove it. You know what Scripture calls that? Fruit. Is your life in Christ producing fruit? Because if it's not, you better reevaluate the use of the word Christian in your life. Because true Christians are attached to the vine, and when you're attached to the vine, you produce fruit. And so if you're not producing fruit, you better look to see what vine you're connected to. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our life. Lord, you're such an amazing God, and we love you so much. You asked that question of Peter, do you love me? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, I love you. And you asked him again, and Peter's response is, yes. And you asked him a third time, and Peter is like, Lord, you know that I love you. You know everything. And this is true, Father. You know everything about us. And I believe that is, you know everything about Peter. You know everything about us. But I believe that's why you asked Peter that question three times. Because you know deep down inside of his heart, Peter needed to deal with something. And you know deep down inside of our heart, we need to deal with some denial that we have had of you. Areas of our life that we have held on to that we have not given over to you. Things that we have said, no, I'll just keep this because it's too hard to give over to you. No, it's too hard to go through those actions. I'm just going to, Lord, you can have everything in my life, but you can't have this. And so, Lord, we come to you, and whatever this is in us, Lord, we ask you, strip it away from us. Help us with our words and our actions to prove that we love you. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never had a salvation, whether you're watching here at home, here in this place or at home online, may today be this day of salvation where you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I love you and I want to change and I want to be different. And so therefore, I ask you to save me today. If you've asked that question, then let me just encourage you that it is a journey that you're starting today, that you can walk closer to him. If you're here today and you have had a relationship with Christ, but you're asking him, or he's asking you, deal with these things that are in your life. Can you say that you love him? And then say, yes, Lord, I love you, and I will do anything it takes to follow you. Do you have the, Lord, I pray that you give us the desire to be restored to you when we fall in sin like Peter had for you. Lord, help us as we have denied you in many ways in our life. Forgive us of those things and help us by our actions and by the fruit that we produce in our life that we are truly following you, because that's the only thing that matters here on this earth. Help us, Lord Jesus, today to say, yes, I love you, and yes, I will go and be actionable in my faith for you. Lord, be with us today. Guide us and strengthen us. Lord, I imagine today that there are some people in this place that are dealing with some conviction that the Holy Spirit is moving amongst them. If they are here today, Lord, we invite them. We open up these altars and say, this place is a safe environment, a safe place for you to come and for us to be praying for you. We would love to have an opportunity to pray for you. Lord, help them to come. Help us to deal with our denials. Help us to instead be restored as Peter was restored to you. Lord, we love you. We glorify you. We lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship together. These altars are open.
I'm hurting and broken within. Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, we lift that up to you, Lord, right now. Lord, whatever he's going through, whatever he is dealing with, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just overshadow him, Lord. Lord, give him clarity in his mind. Give him peace in his heart, Lord Jesus. God, he's a child of yours. I just pray that the power of Satan would just be loosed from him. We loose the power of Satan over his mind. We loose the power of Satan over the whole situation, Lord. We just pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would just overshadow him right now. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would heal his heart, heal his mind, give him that peace and clarity he needs, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus. We believe, Lord. We call on your name, Lord Jesus. We speak the power of Jesus' name over him. I speak the blood of Jesus over him. I pray, Lord Jesus, that his power, that your power would just overshadow him, Lord. That he would feel your presence right now. Right now, Lord Jesus. I pray for Mary. Lord, I pray that you give her peace. I pray for peace of her. Lord, just help her, comfort her, Lord. Lord, she carries this burden of man, and she carries the burden of her family. And Lord, I just pray that you would just release her from this burden. And Lord, just give her peace. And Sidio to Murio to Shurio to Mataya. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayers and thank you for answering our prayers, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
My guest today, he's in really bad shape.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Girl, come up, okay?
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are, that you forgive us of our sins. You forgive us for turning away from you. You forgive us for denying you. You forgive us for just walking this path of this life without you. Lord, I'm just struck with the fact that Peter would have never received the Holy Spirit had he not been restored by you. How many of us in this room, Lord Jesus, need to be restored back to you so that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go forward and do the work that you have called us to do. I may even be able to make the connection and say that Peter wasn't able to do the things that Jesus had told him to do until he was restored and received the Holy Spirit so that he could go out and do those things. So Lord, we pray today, restore us. Restore us not to each other, not to things of this world, but restore us to the kingdom of God. Restore us back to you, Father, forgiving us for the times that we have denied you and walked away from you. Forgiveness for the times that we have not done the actions that we should have done, not done the things that you have called us to do. Lord, forgive us for just setting on our faith. And help us to go forth from this place fully restored, to receive the Holy Spirit and all that you have for us so that we can be and do the things that you've called us to do. So that we can answer that question, do you love me? We can say yes, and then we can go and feed the lambs. So you can ask us a second time, do you love us? Do you love me? And we can say yes, and then you tell us to go tend to the sheep. So then you can ask us a third time, do you love us? And we can say, Lord, you know that we do. We love you with everything that's inside of us. And this isn't a brotherly love. This isn't a, I'm here for you. But this is a, I love you with every fiber of my being. And so I will do everything that you ask me to do. Lord, help us in this place to then do what you tell us to do. Help us to be actionable Christians. Actionable followers of Christ. As we leave this place, may we be your hands and feet, Father, doing what you have called us to do. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. And we praise you in this place. Help us today, Father, to be restored and to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again next week.